It was just the virtue of the rolls.
Rolled a 21 to hit that in the face, point blank.
All of a sudden, through the roof of the tent, bam, hits right into the Bunsen burner that you were working on.
No! Describe to me how you want this to go down.
I grab you by your back, put you down on the ground.
Be sure that you have your big boy pants on, because it's not going to be pretty what you see down there.
Things could go differently based on the dice.
Let's find out.
All right, here we go. You guys can fail me now.
Theater, an RPG actual play podcast.
Welcome to Bone Thrower's Theater, season 2, officially.
Yes.
Yeah. I am Carlin. I will be playing Dran, battle proven Renner.
Sounds like you said pillaging.
Yes, pillaging Renner. No, I didn't get to pillage anything yet.
But that is on your agenda.
You did a little bit of
pillaging when we first crash landed.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
A little bit.
That wasn't pillaging, that was pilfering. Yes.
There's a fine line.
Fair enough.
I was going to say a fine line between pillaging and pilfering. It's not a fine line, it's pretty thick.
My name is Jeremy, and I am playing Captain Orion James.
I'm Jeff, and I'm playing Mossbeard.
As he scratches his beard.
His real beard.
No, Sergeant Willis Masters as a tree.
This is Johnny. I play Professor Edric Farthings.
And this is Stephanie. I'm playing Dr. Miranda Kristoff.
And this is Jordan. I'll be your GM for all of the terror that will continue.
Yeah.
Terror Proximus.
Terror.
Like it.
So, guys, why don't we go around the table and everybody share one thing that you remember from the end of season 1?
I found Miranda and the other lady, I can't remember her name. What's your
Wendy.
Name? Wendy.
Lumps.
Oh, look at that. Now that you know, she's more memorable.
I, as a tree, spoke to trees and found out where they were and said, hey, let's go get them.
I remember the bug zapper.
The bug zapper? That was one of Edric's finest moments.
Yes.
Actually, kind of have a crappy memory, but I just remember Miranda trying and failing over and over again to do anything to effect her own rescue.
I remember the Wendy's not attractive anymore.
Leadership.
Leadership, yeah.
I do remember that about the firefight that was pretty much the Orion and Dran show.
Yes. I'll out of character fist bump.
No winkle bump there?
No.
We would not fist bump in character.
Yeah, but the cave scene, was they just lit it up.
Edric hid outside.
And I also do remember that the grenades successfully worked at neutralizing the bees.
Yeah. Successfully worked?
As they rained from the sky.
Yes.
As opposed to unsuccessfully
well, yeah. He could unsuccessfully work. Still work his grenade.
Yes,
that's true.
So, we are now going to skip over the night after you guys returned from the cave.
Because everyone's probably dead tired.
Very tired.
I'd just like to point out, I was thinking then about this too, that all of season 1 took place in like a week's time.
Yeah.
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 Jeez.
It was a
pretty intense week.
1 week per year.
Are we tired now?
Yes. Yeah, so you guys probably sleep a lot. We were talking about this off of air. The tents that you guys had set up, your personal tents were still up. Because remember, Wendy did come to Dran and have a bit of a conversation with him.
Lumps.
Lumpity lump lump. My lumps.
My disgusting beehive lumps.
Now the question is she unattractive because of her face or because of what she said to Dran?
Both.
Well, I think she's more unattractive to Dran because of the French flu that came back positive in her test. Because that's pretty much verboten now. So, yeah. All right. So
I'm still flu-free.
Where do we want to start?
And fruity.
Well, Dran has something that needs to be talked about seriously the next morning.
Okay.
Because he's woken up and something dawns on him immediately. So, has he been given his comm back, or does he even have his own underwear? I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, took everything from him.
So you're still just under surveillance.
I mean, they're going to be watching.
No, the last episode, surveillance was off.
Yes,
right.
It was.
Because what had happened was Aurora had a conversation with him, and Orion had, they had worked it out so that we're going to trust him as far as we could throw him.
Well, I think also so, because Dran didn't shoot anyone in the back in the cave.
Exactly.
So that's good.
Yeah, because he just kept in the front.
For recall purposes.
Yes.
Miranda, I remember her being covered with bees and whatnot, so she's probably being treated for, like, extensive stings and so on.
She's lumps, too.
Because she had bees going down her throat.
Yeah, she probably got stung incidentally, but not on the same level.
Wasn't incidental. That was intentionally.
Well, no, that her being covered and getting stung, like, once, like, every a few times, that was intentional. But, like, anything as massive as what Wendy had, that would be incidental.
So she probably got stung, you know, 50 or 60 times.
As opposed to 300 times in the same spot.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, so. So, I mean, things are...
That's why Wendy now looks like Steve Buscemi.
So I'm sore and limping and having a little trouble breathing still, but I can function?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, you're the new Orbital.
Dr. Wheezy.
He's dead.
Dr. Wheezy.
R.I.P. Orbital.
Really?
R.I.P. Orbital. He was such a great NPC.
Yeah. If we had zombies, he could come back, but we don't.
Anyway.
We do have cyborgs, though.
So,
or will have
Dran,
cyborgs.
You remember that there is something very important
that
you want to go ahead and
do. So if I have a comm, I want to send out a comm to just the leadership folk. So I guess it would be Orion, Aurora. Does Aurora have her own comm at this point?
She wouldn't have a comm.
She'd just wake up in your bed, Orion.
So. She would not wake up in Orion's bed.
You could have given her a comm from the dead players.
Orbitals. Yeah, she could have orbitals.
Yeah. And you guys probably have some extra.
Yeah, she would probably have been given a comp.
Okay, so
but I don't know if she would have been on the leadership channel.
Yeah, I doubt that.
I doubt it.
You don't get all the channels. None are in HD either. No, okay, so he'd basically just send something out to all the leadership people. So at this point, I guess it would be James and... Actually, I think it'll only be James at this point.
So you're
Farthing's and Kristoff.
I don't have one on me.
Don't want Kristoff there.
After the bee thing, I don't have one on me. I wouldn't think I would have one on me, period, because I'm being treated.
Farthing's, yes. Yeah, so, okay, so only Orion, James, and Edric Farthing's.
And this, probably, is this the next morning?
Yeah. Yes. Yes, it
probably
is.
Probably, like, Jindal, just to clarify, Jindal would have taken away both Miranda and Wendy's comp.
So do want Jindal there, too.
Because he's currently in charge of the med team.
Yes, correct. Okay, so we want Jindal, Edric, and Orion James.
And if it's in the morning, then Orion would be talking to Edric.
Already?
Already.
Are you assuming that Dran sleeps later than... Well, probably.
Then the Marine, probably.
Okay, so you guys probably have to have
and
a
scientist, she doesn't sleep.
Or no, you're just hanging out.
No, you could say, we could say that happens almost the same time. I'm like walking into the
sounds
science
good
tent.
Yeah, yeah. So Dran will come and be like, I need to have a private meeting. Jindal, Professor Farthing's, Captain James... Something that just came to mind that's very pressing that I wanted to talk to you guys about. If we can meet ASAP.
How long is this going to take?
Not long. 5-10 minutes.
Alright, well, I'm standing here with Professor Farthing's. Just walked into the science tent.
Is there anyone else there, or is it just you and Farthing's?
Just two of us.
Just two. Can we meet there?
Sure, you can come over here.
Okay. Jindal, can you make it? Who's going to play Jindal?
Yeah, I can make it.
Okay, wonderful. Okay, so we all convene.
Orion clicks over to First Sergeant Robinson. Just, I'm going to be in a meeting for the next 5-10 minutes. Be sure that the preparations to move out are still ahead of schedule.
Yes, sir.
All right, so we get there. Is everyone there now?
Everyone is assembled.
Okay. So I wanted to talk to you guys because... You know, obviously we're all pretty depleted and tired from what happened yesterday. But we need to retest everyone because...
I agree fully.
Yeah, retesting because things were crazy in the cave and anyone could have been stung, basically. We don't know. Like, things move so fast and I guarantee... Well, I mean, we could see that Dr. Kristoff was stung. So we need to retest for French flu and quarantine, because that's all you'll allow is quarantining.
Well, in attempts to further the cause of weapons manufacturing to fight off the wildlife in the area, I'd like to actually do a weekly testing of everybody.
Okay. That's actually a great idea.
And draw blood and take the samples to use the blood samples to test products.
That's a great idea, Professor.
Well, as you know, I have been taking samples of everyone that's been injured as we've been on this planet. Just because...
Since last night.
Yeah, we had a weekly testing set up anyways, if you remember.
Yes, I'd just like to add to actually draw a vial of blood for each person with that testing. That's
already part of it.
Okay.
Well, let's do one now, like today.
All right.
And expedite the testing.
Hold on one second. I understand the need for that. Also, there is a pressing need. We need to get out of this location.
That too.
And if we decide to test and get everybody tested, that takes time where we have to not break down a portion of the medical makeshift tent, and we are pretty much sitting ducks.
Is there a way to do testing while we move, potentially?
I'd have to ask that.
Like,
no. Not at all. Jindal.
No, we have to set up centrifuges and
there's
other
equipment.
There's
too much equipment involved in the process.
It's not
a
simple prick.
People.
We can draw blood, certainly. And...
Is it feasible for us to move camp for a day? Like, travel as far as we can for a day and then set up that evening and do as much testing as possible and then the next day start moving again?
Absolutely. We could draw the blood right away and keep the samples.
Yeah, we can draw the blood from today and
Then
move. But
it takes, what, 20 minutes to do 5 samples of testing? 20 minutes of testing and I can do 5 samples at a time.
Okay.
Yeah, if we were back in outer space, of course this would take no time at all, but as you well know, we don't have all the necessary equipment to make it go like that.
You said 5 samples in 20 minutes?
Yes.
Okay.
How many you can test 5 samples in 20 minutes? Or
I can do test 5 samples simultaneously, and it takes 20 minutes to do the test.
All right. Well, okay. I'm hoping that we can leave this location ASAP. I'm all for collecting the samples ASAP as well. As far as leaving stuff set up to test, I agree with Mr. Renner's assessment that we need to move as far as we can in a day and then set up shop, and that's when we do the testing. We need to move.
All right.
The True Hive knows our location, so we need to move.
And the importance of the testing at this point, too, is that the True Hive could continue to know where we move if they can track those who are infected. So that's why we need to figure this out. And just saying, I'm assuming that Wendy is still infected because she was before. So, I mean, I kind of don't understand why we brought her back at all, but...
Well, I'm hoping to find a cure for those individuals amongst our camp.
How long is that going to take, though?
There's no way of telling, especially if we keep moving.
That's the point. There's no way to tell. It could take forever.
Keep in mind,
may not happen.
Dr. Farthings, that this strain that we've found down here is more complex than we thought. Because we don't have...
It's completely different than everything we had on the stations, but in some ways, it's more complex because it's more diverse, but in some ways, because of the diversity, it's easier to solve.
That's very true, but we still have no way of knowing how soon we can
come up with...
Okay, so I say what we do right now is break the meeting, because we should be packing up. Let's expedite the packing up and moving as soon as possible. Then as soon as we set up our camp for the evening, wherever we are, get as many people through to have blood drawn and start to do as many tests as possible so that the next morning we can get on the move again. start with the people who were most likely infected by whatever you can remember.
Well, let's just start with the four of us here right now.
That's fine.
All right, Jindal, I'm going to... Don't worry about breaking down med stuff. I'm going to put one of my teams to help.
All right,
Ghost of Steenberg.
I will help.
So just
I will need help getting...
Just collect samples.
All right, but I...
I'll offer another team to help break down science.
There will also need to be help for getting our injured and sick prepped for the travel as well, because...
Well, that's part of... that's rolled into
breaking
down.
How many people do we have still? I never
injured?
Got... Yeah, no, like, altogether. Who's still alive? Because I know we had some...
We've only lost...
There was only A.J. McKinley that you really...
A.J. McKinley and Orbital.
Orbital, yeah. Actually,
we've got Caprio that's wounded. We've got Ford and Kristoff.
And of course, Farthing is still wounded.
That are wounded. Well, yes.
In fact, we need to make you roll for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Roll a healing roll.
Yeah. How long do nanites take to heal?
These nanites suck.
I know. They do.
Can we get an upgrade to these nanites?
Yeah. Can we please? Because I just broke my leg again.
You re-broke it.
Oh, it was all that running around through the woods.
Sometimes you gotta break it to reset it.
How's your leg, Professor Farthing? I don't know. Let me hit it with a stick and find out.
Ah, it's broken.
I definitely just roll a one.
McKinley's stick.
On my healing roll.
You broke it.
Okay, so I think that's a plan. Let's
get
it in motion.
Mariah gets on comms. Team 1, you're to report to Dr. Jindal. I'll tell you, give you orders for helping break down the med tent and taking care of the wounded for transport. Team 2, report to Professor Farthing. So you'll help with the science breakdown.
Yes, sir.
Sir.
And scene. All right, so...
Stab, suck blood.
Miranda, you want to go next? Do you want to have a scene, or...?
I honestly don't have much planned for her.
Okay.
At the moment, anyway.
Laying in a bed going...
Yeah, she's been through a lot. I'm thinking she's just kind of taking this moment to rest.
She's probably still asleep.
Yeah.
Okay, well, if nobody... Does anyone else have anything that they want
to
do at the moment?
Orion would like to have a conversation with Aurora and Burntail.
Ooh, love triangle.
At the same time.
Yeah.
Well,
yes, at the same time.
I'll play
time.
Aurora.
I think that Willis would come up to you and ask if it would be prudent for him to continue being with Team Number 1 because of people being uncomfortable. The people that have been injured, because Team 1's supposed to help out with the med tent, and Willis is on Team 1, and people are not very comfortable with a tree walking around.
All right, so you come up to Captain James and say that?
Yeah.
Okay, how do you say it?
Captain, sir, request to speak.
Yeah, what is it, Masters?
It has been an awkward... day and a half since we've gotten back to the camp, solely because I am now a tree.
Get to the point, Masters. We don't got time for this.
Because of other people's skittishness towards me, you think it's still prudent for me to help out with the injured, the ones that are most psychologically affected by what has been going on this planet?
You're going to find that anywhere, Masters. Fair. To be honest, we don't have time to deal with interpersonal stuff right now. We've got to move this camp.
Yes, sir.
You're part of Team 1. That's what you're assigned.
Yes, sir.
Well, so you pretty much have been put in your place.
No, I just wanted to make sure that that's where my place was. That's all.
Ryan gets on comms again. Captain James, are you around Burntail?
We just came back from our morning hunt.
Okay.
Weird.
I need to have a conversation with the two of you.
All right, fine.
Meet me outside medical.
All right. Where do you want the pig?
Outside of camp.
All right. Well, they're not going to be able to eat it if it's out there. I mean, you don't want us to take it like to a set up a cook fire or anything?
We are leaving.
Okay.
We're not sticking around.
All right. We'll be right there. So Burntail and Aurora walk up. And Burntail actually stays like one step behind Aurora, and instead of like reaching out for your shoulder, she just puts her hand on Aurora's shoulder and just leaves it there. So what's up, Orion?
Well, Captain James, got some questions. So hopefully the two of you can help out, fill in some blanks here. Are the True Hive able to, there's been a concern brought to my attention, are the True Hive able to track individuals that they have come in contact with through, I don't know, whatever their abilities are, to your knowledge?
Well, I mean, the like by stinging somebody and leaving a sting in them? No. No. The True Hive can't track somebody like that. It's not like they have this sentient, all-knowing web of knowledge.
So not like the canopy.
No, they're not like the canopy. But the thing is, the canopy only knows where the trees are growing. So like cliff faces.
Well, I understand that. It makes sense.
Yes.
Okay, so to your knowledge, they cannot track in that way.
They can't track in that way. I mean, obviously they might interface with other creatures. Like bees have a natural affinity for other insects, you know, similarness in species. So they might be able to interface with like tarantula hawks, or they might be able to work with other of the hornet-like or bee-like families. But honestly, they consider themselves above
other insects.
Other insects. Okay. They don't consider themselves the insect. The True Hive considers itself to be one sentient organic being.
Okay.
So it might very well just send off like one or two bees as scouts.
The concern was that anybody who has come in contact is now like a beacon, where they.
No, they're not a beacon.
Tree puns suck. Just abandon them. The tree puns are sweet, but these bee puns, man.
Okay, all right. That's topic number one. Topic number two. How quickly do you think we can get back close proximity to Nine Claws?
Aurora looks at Burntail, and they seem to be exchanging something. Well, they were planning to move from that location. Burntail was speaking with the rest of the tribe last night. And we thought that now that you were here and you've agreed to help us, that we can actually make an actual push deeper into Hive territory and start working towards the capital that they took from us.
It'd be best to establish a base of operations not behind enemy lines for the time being.
Behind enemy lines? We're behind enemy lines is up in the sky.
Yes, I agree. But behind enemy lines as in not close to the capital of the enemy. I mean, we still got wounded to take care of. We still got things that we need to figure out of how feasible it is for our people who have been injured to remain on duty.
Well, we could supplement the supply routes and the guards. Burntail and the rest are willing to supplement with guards of the Nine Claws if your people need rest.
So what it comes down to, basically, you're saying the Nine Claws, they probably will have moved on by the time we'll be able to get back to them.
They've left that location, right. Yes.
Then that brings the next question. How bad of a threat are these porcupine people?
Oh.
It'd be a prickly situation.
Well, I think some of our people might still be alive with them. I don't know. Honestly, they have a similar level of technology to the Jaguars in that, you know, they use a lot of the same kind of weaponry and everything like that.
They rivals?
Yes. Great. In fact, the before the True Hive came, the Pricklers, as the Nine Claws call them, were their number one enemy. All of the cat tribes had made a pact to try and destroy the Pricklers. Unfortunately, that pact fell apart when the True Hive tried to like actually had a coup and killed all of the leadership at a summit.
So the Jaguars, Burntail, assuming she can hear me.
Oh, she can hear you, yeah.
And he's looking directly at her now, says, you wouldn't have a problem with engaging that enemy if it meant getting more supplies of our supplies to help you guys out.
She, like, bares her fangs and lays her hair, her ears back on her head.
Is that a yes?
She reaches out and she grabs your arm. It's complicated.
How so?
What you're asking us to do is to go against a foe that the Nine Claws could not face without the Black Spots or the Shear Runners.
Shear Runners?
We have our own issues here dealing with the True Hive. If the True Hive can gain a foothold in the other tribes, take over them, because the Nine Claws are not the only ones who worship Das Muzan Kab. If it spreads to the other cat tribes, then this entire region is lost, because then they would march on the Pricklers and wipe them out, assimilate them, and think about what bees with porcupine quills would be like. What you're asking for is for us to go against an enemy that we find to be more numerous and more aggressive even than our own natural enemies.
Hey, here's the thing. They have some of our supplies. So that's limiting us at how much we can help you guys.
You're like gods to us. What do you care about supplies? You have these weapons that can hurl death from thousands of meters. And you have the ability to fly.
Not anymore. That's what they have that we need.
You just can't fly through the air? I thought...
You have the ability to fly.
You mean on the back of the lizards?
Yes. You can't just call them up and fly on those whenever you want. That's, I mean, how you took down our shuttle.
I thought you'd just fly on your own.
The thing that your lizard wrecked, it's laying over there on the ground all shattered and busted, that's how we fly. And right now,
the Pricklers
have the other one of those.
Here I was thinking you were a god. I need to go talk to my people.
Okay.
They will not like your suggestion.
Well, this is supposed to be an alliance, correct?
It is an alliance, yes.
We help you guys out, you help us out.
You help us out, and we don't eat you. I will go take your words to the council.
I don't have anything more to say to Burntail. I'm just waiting for her.
Well, she walks off.
Okay. Can turn to Aurora and be like, I don't like the way this is going. It's supposed to be an alliance. Where they help us out and we help them out. So far, the only time that we've done anything, they sat back and watched because they could not be on sacred ground. Now they don't want to fight an enemy that is holding some of our stuff that we need to help them out. This is not part of the plan.
I'll go see what I can do.
Is there any indigenous species here that they aren't enemies with?
Well, I mentioned the river creatures, but they seemed to be a little bit more afraid of them than anything else. You got to realize, we're in a world that is almost prehistoric in its outset. If you're not one of the tribe or someone closely related, they're going to think of you as the enemy. We're lucky enough that they consider us to be godlike. You know, because think how difficult it would be if they were as aggressive as these porcupine people that they keep on talking about, the ones that have the original shuttle. I mean...
Well, just to wrap this up, just listen. Obviously, this may be their flaw, that they don't know how an alliance is supposed to work. It's not we do whatever they want. It's give and take. We scratch their back, they scratch ours. Why don't you go explain that to him? And he walks off.
I'll see what I can do.
First Sergeant, report.
Yes, sir.
Scene.
All right. We're going to go ahead and pause there for a quick break. And then when we come back, we're going to continue on with the epic adventures of Terra Proximus.
Coming soon to a podcatcher near you.
Hey there, that's Carlin.
And that's Jordan.
We've got a lot of interests in common.
Beer.
Role-playing games.
Podcasting.
And movies.
We've combined the first three things in our podcast collective, Nerd Circle Podcast Productions.
And we thought it was high time we add movies to that list.
With that in mind, we invite you to check out Carlin and Jordan's Most Excellent Movie Night.
It's a weekly podcast that explores movies that can be found streaming on the internet's most popular paid movie service.
We talk about each film's story structure, symbolism in the film, significant themes, directing, acting. If you can think of it, it's fair game.
So with that being said, we dish spoilers like there's no tomorrow.
You think people care about that?
Well, it is the internet.
Ah, true.
Anyway, we would love for you to join us.
Absolutely. We want you to help us pick which movies to watch.
Check out our website, mostexcellentmovienight.com, for further info.
Or just search for Carlin and Jordan's Most Excellent Movie Night in iTunes.
Mostexcellentmovienight.com.
Where movies are most excellent.
Willis.
Yeah.
You've decided to follow orders, shockingly enough, and you're going to go help break down the medical
thing. Hey, you work hard and you'll go far.
Oh, come on.
That you will.
Was that in character?
No, it wasn't. Yeah, no. Okay. Yeah, you take that back. If he was
having
a conversation.
I tried.
I can't fault you for that.
How much work is there to do?
We gotta take down the tents.
Yeah, but, I mean...
Build stretchers.
Yeah, build stretchers.
Build stretchers. Well, use the stretchers that there are.
Mm-hmm. Okay, assemble stretchers.
So we have right now injured Miranda and Wendy.
Caprio.
Were there any other survivors from the other team, or were they all taken by the bees?
They were all taken.
We have some bodies.
Yeah, there were bodies.
We brought bodies back? That's a bad idea.
I don't know that we brought them back. We didn't.
There were bodies. I mean,
I don't remember us discussing bringing them back.
Yeah. No.
You guys.
Yeah, I thought we had brought them back, but.
I thought we did too.
Just so they weren't in the cave.
No, yeah. We did grab the bodies just in case one of them was alive. But because we didn't know.
Anyway.
I don't know.
Anyway, you do have a lot of extra medical gear from the trove that the...
Oh, yeah. We did gather up all that.
So you guys are working on tearing down the tents. Are you working around the people? Like, are they still in the beds and you're, like, removing the tents around them? Or are you moving the beds out of the...
Yeah, I think we would take them out and then take them down.
Okay.
I mean, we would be following the direction of whoever, of whatever his face is.
Goldsmith
Steenberg.
What's his first name?
I thought that was his full name.
Aloysius.
It's Gold. Is it Goldberg? Goldsmith?
It was Goldberg.
Goldberg?
I don't remember.
Goldstein? No, I thought it was Goldstein. I don't know.
Johnny came up with it.
Goldson.
I don't remember.
The other medical guy.
Medical dude number four.
The guy we always forget about.
So, Miranda, how do you feel right now?
I'm going to say at the moment she just woke up from a fever dream.
What were you dreaming about?
Being covered in bees.
Terrifying
and having
nightmares.
Them crawl down my throat.
Terrifying the
good times.
Yeah.
I wonder why she would think of something like that.
Oh, gee, I don't know, Jordan. So she just woke up. I'm assuming... Let's say what woke her up was them prepping her
to move
bed to move outside of the tent. So who's I'm assuming two people are gonna be moving her. What two people?
It would be your two doctors.
No. It would be Collins and it would be Willis.
Okay, and Willis is at the foot of the bed.
Yes.
Oh, yes. Hi.
When I wake up from a fever dream about bees. I wake up and look at a giant green guy.
Honestly, I don't think I would be at the foot of your bed because you would probably...
Either way, I'm going to see you because I'm either going to up or
look
down.
Both directions, but yeah.
But you'd be less likely to look up first than down first because most people don't... first thing in the morning, they don't look straight up when they first wake up.
And either way, we're just going to conveniently say you're the first thing she sees.
I think you would intentionally try to avoid that, though.
Well, sorry, you're helping move her bed.
No, wouldn't.
Well, to prevent from her anyone freaking out.
Collins is on the end of the bed moving it. He's like, oh, man. Willis, I did not know hospital beds weighed so much.
Oh, me either.
Okay, so Miranda jolts awake and like is looking around. She sees Collins and she's like, "What's going on?" And she looks up.
We gotta move you outside.
Starts screaming in a very hoarse, raspy voice because, well, her throat is.
I knew we should have pulled the sheet up over her face.
And she punches him in the gut.
Good thing it's made of
he
bark.
He drops you to the ground.
Roll strength.
And she rolls out of bed.
Roll. Whoa. Okay. If we're gonna enter combat, then we gotta make some rolls here.
Oh, that was reflex punch.
It's still combat.
Like, get that thing away.
Yeah.
Ooh. Two sixes.
Wow.
I like these dice. I'll have to thank Jeff and Chrissy. And a four. All right. 16.
Okay.
I did not get that much.
No.
I got 9.
Okay, so she lands a pretty solid punch.
Right solar at your solar plexus. Plexus. He drops the bed.
Yeah,
I'm assuming. So. And she falls and rolls out of bed.
What was that for?
And hits the ground.
Doubled in pain.
Yeah.
And she has fallen on the ground.
And Collins is like, oh, man.
And she's doing like crab walk, skittering away from him.
It's okay.
I'm gonna walk outside now.
She's just looking wildly around like, the bow, the bow.
Dr. Kristoff, you're back at the camp. It's me, Phil Collins.
What is that?
It's hard to explain. But that would actually be...
That hurt.
Faith in what you must be.
That's Willis Masters, ma'am.
Who?
Sergeant Willis Masters.
Is he one of ours?
Yeah. No. Giant trees all of a sudden formed a military and started naming their people after us.
You're next. Shut up.
Yeah, you know, that really hurt. I wasn't expecting that.
Well, I wasn't expecting you.
Well, now you know what to expect.
He's pretty.
Get back on the bed. We gotta get you out of this tent so we can take it down.
I'll walk, thanks. And she kind of shakily gets to her feet and limps out of the tent.
So, when you come out of the tent, you see...
hordes of cat people.
You see tents have been taken down. The shuttle is now lying on the ground rather than being suspended from the trees. Mm-hmm. You see 3 Jaguar people jogging through the middle of the camp.
Okay, she turns around, runs back into the med tent and says, Jaguars, we're under attack!
Allies.
What?
Sully says. And continues moving the bed outside.
Dran understands.
she just stands there, kind of struck dumb for a few minutes inside the tent. Leans on her table.
Yeah, that's going out next.
She ignores me.
A Jindal walks in. Oh, you're awake.
Maybe.
I need to. Well, here's how we can prove that you're awake. Give me your arm.
No.
Miranda, come on. I need to do a blood test.
What?
It's actually, Edric and Orion. Professor
Wait,
Farthing and...
Wait, Orion?
Yes.
What? But he got taken away. What?
So did I.
They're back now, and they've ordered medical tests for everyone.
Okay.
I was going to come do this while you were asleep, but since you're awake, I guess,
Fine, here, but run me through everything that's happened. What did I miss?
Well, you were in a cave.
Yeah, I remember that.
There
part.
Were bees.
Skip it.
While you were in the cave with bees, why did you run off, by the way?
Jindal, report.
Well, you and Wendy are the only two new injuries that we have in medical bay.
Were there any other survivors?
From what? The cave?
Yes.
All of our people survived. But there were some... The ones the bees had before? No.
Shock.
It's pretty much... You and Wendy are the only ones left from whatever what's going on in there. Don't know. Don't want to know.
Where did the cat things come from?
They wrote in on... pterodactyls with Captain James.
Is he like the living plant over there?
No, not at all.
What happened?
He still looks normal.
He's fine, but apparently, get this, Captain James, he had himself a lady up on the space station. She left him. Guess what?
Jindal, I'm not interested in gossip.
She was in charge. Team 1, the first team that came down, Landing Team Alpha. Yeah, she was in charge of that. And she's gone native. And she keeps on giving him lip, like, hey, baby, you know you want some kitty love. It's hilarious.
Jindal, are we done here?
Well, this tube's full, but we gotta do another one.
Then hurry up.
Okay, but you gotta promise not to punch anybody else.
Well, you stop Please. Talking, maybe I can keep that promise.
Okay, shorty. Whatever you say.
You don't mind taking a double shift, do you? I don't think I'm quite up to working yet.
Oh, no. In fact, doctor's orders, you're supposed to be in bed.
Well, I'm going to override those orders. I need to go find
You can't Orion. Override those orders. I'm James. Medical officer in charge here.
Well, if you want me to keep that promise. Hurry up.
Hey, Masters?
Yes, sir.
She grabs Jindal's comm and says, Captain James, I'd like to speak to you. This is Kristoff.
We actually, if you can go to the supplies that we haven't yet unpacked, there are some bed restraints. Can you?
I don't want to get near that.
Just have a comms up when he says that.
I just want you to get the restraints. That's all I want.
I think it's already packed up.
That's an order, son.
You're not my commanding officer. Back off.
Your commanding officer told you to deal with the medical staff.
Pack it up.
Right now.
Sorry, sir.
Right now.
I'm moving this table.
Jindal, what are your orders?
My orders are to keep you safe and to break down the tent.
Then why are you taking blood samples?
Because that's another one of my orders.
Well, which one's priority?
Yes.
I think you need to go figure that out. If you're supposed to be taking blood samples, you better hurry up. I'm well enough to be up and walking around, so thank you very much. I need to go get caught up by some.
Ryan James not going to walks in the tent and is like, what's going on?
Well,
I need to speak to you.
Captain.
What are you doing out of bed?
Two things first, real quickly. One, she's a pain. Two, he's not following orders.
I am. Excuse me. Carrying a table outside.
All right, look. I had a conversation with Willis Masters. We don't have time for all this interpersonal stuff. We need to leave now. Just get your work done. Follow your assignments. That's it.
Why are we leaving?
Because the True Hive knows where we are.
She goes over, checks on Wendy's vitals, and starts prepping her to move.
Lumps.
Wendy's okay for the most part. I mean, she's able to walk around. As we know from... last time.
So Miranda starts helping prep her to move. She's taking tubes and getting...
Captain. How far are you on your samples?
Well, I just got hers, thank God, because I don't think I'll be able to stop her from doing anything else.
Right now we could use her.
So she's not really in a good condition to be doing anything, if you know what I mean.
Jordan's pointing to his head emphatically.
What she needs... is to take it easy.
She's standing right here.
Well, she doesn't listen when her doctor gives her medical advice.
Well, her doctor might not want to assign a tree to move her bed.
I heard that. It says from outside.
Can you go get those restraints, please?
Jindal, one word. Samples, please. That's actually two.
Okay. Let me just go ahead and get Wendy samples, and then we can go ahead and move on.
I suggest, yeah, go to one person, get their samples, go to the next. Let's cut the chit-chat and get out of here.
If you want chit-chat, go to her. I'm just trying to do what needs to be done. And what needs to be done is to make sure that she doesn't hurt herself.
And while we're standing
Wendy's
here talking...
Wendy's ready to move. Get going.
Thank you.
You guys.
While we're standing here talking,
start breaking down.
Time. Let's go. And he pops back out.
All right. That was tearing down the tent.
That was fast.
It's a pop-up tent.
That was Digindal, not you.
Yes, yes. I always assume that the middle finger directed towards me is actually to the voices in my head.
Is that how you get through the day, Jordy?
It's how I have to get through the day.
Oh, man. Jindal and the other Captain James seem to be cut of the same cloth.
Scene. Dran scene now. Dran's in his tent, which is going to be taken down soon. Dran takes off his flak jacket and his shirt, so he just has pants on. And
thank goodness.
Leaves everything, like takes everything else out of his pockets and everything, so all he had is has his pants. And I assume he has...
Is he wearing shoes?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, he wears shoes too. And he walks to find Burntail. Does he find Burntail?
Yes, he does find Burntail. Okay.
So when he notices that Burntail notices him,
mm-hmm.
he puts his hands up to show that he has nothing, and turns to show he has nothing, and then starts walking, and gets close enough that she would have to walk just a little bit to get to him, and kneels down, gets on his knees, and motions to his shoulder, his naked shoulder.
Burntail walks around you in a circle. Very slowly.
Like she's prowling.
Yes. She's actually there are three other guards with her. And she like motions them back. Because they look a little on edge seeing the guy who attacked their translator. She walks around very slowly. She places her weapons, her club, and a spear down on the ground, like out of reach of you. And she spirals closer until she's right up next to you. And she starts sniffing your entire body.
A bird.
You know how cats do. I just imagined Jeremy's character from Star Wars.
So Dran just stays totally still during the whole thing.
She sniffs your armpits.
Fine.
Your hair.
Sure.
Pretty much anything that's not covered in cloth.
Sure.
Some things that are. She's part dog.
She bares her teeth in your face.
Nothing.
Then she leans back and then she puts her hand on your shoulder.
Do I hear anything?
Well, first she takes her pot of coals puts it on the ground. And you start smelling the very distinct burned hair smell.
Smells good.
Yeah. What do you want?
I came to make amends. The situation between the two of us was out of ignorance because I was not informed of the way your people communicate.
How could you not be informed?
Captain James never spoke to me about the way you guys do anything.
You mean you can't talk in each other's minds?
No.
And here my thinking that you all are gods has been disproved once again.
Probably the furthest thing from it.
What is it that you want?
To clear the air between us.
You wish to clear the air?
You may not understand that saying.
Then what do you mean?
I mean to say I have no bad motivation towards you and your kind. Knowing what I know now. We fought before, but I now know that that was because of misunderstanding.
So you're saying that there's no more misunderstanding between us?
If you will allow it, yes.
What do they call you?
Dran. Dran Renner is what they call me. And you are?
Burned Tail. Tell me, how does one Dran Renner?
What?
You take a knife.
You part. The way we get names is very different than the way you get names. It doesn't really mean anything. It's just to identify.
So, these names that you have, it's just a jumble of sounds that you use to refer. It doesn't say what your main purpose is?
No. Very different from how you operate, yes. But,
you all are ignorant.
You are at war with what they call the True Hive?
We're at war with everyone.
Okay, you're at war with everyone. I think it bears letting you and your kind know that if you want to stay as far away from True Hive as possible, there may be one or a few here who have been infected by the True Hive.
What do you mean infected by the True Hive?
From what I understand, there is something in the bodies of the bees that, when stinging happens, transmits.
Do you mean the poison?
Yes, I assume.
Like normal bee poison?
No, not normal. It changes, can change.
You're speaking of the gift.
I don't think it's a gift necessarily. It basically makes at least our kind become one of them, one of the True Hive.
Like we became jaguars.
Yes, but then if they become True Hive, then they're fighting against you, I assume.
Underneath the bees, they are still jaguars.
Okay, but there might be some that are not, potentially.
So you are saying that there might be some amongst your people who are blessed with a gift?
Not yet. Not yet, but it could happen. Because they've been stung.
Well, then we would welcome them with open arms.
This is a... What? I think you're confused as to how this works. Are you or are you not fighting against the True Hive?
We are, yes, but...
Okay, so if there are more of them, would you not fight them?
No, it doesn't work.
Are they friends all of a sudden?
No, I mean...
This doesn't make sense.
If they have the gift, then the world is open to the possibilities. I mean... They could learn how to breathe underwater. They could become jaguars. They could become trees.
Yo.
Okay, that's fine, but...
But it's not limited to...
But does it not have to do with what they are stung or bitten by?
It depends on what transmits it. But the True Hive does not transmit the gift through their sting.
Through what, then?
One swallowed a bee and digested it.
Okay. Well, there may be some of that. Okay. We have tests, okay? Just so you know, we have tests.
You can tell who has the gift?
Yes.
Through counting letters?
Yes.
And reading numbers?
Yes. Sure. Now,
making
we know that one person within our group specifically has the gift from the True Hive, which I'm assuming would not be a real gift in this situation since we're against them, since they are against us and you.
Well, it is possible that we might be able to influence her gift by an infusion of our blood.
Okay. Whatever you do, whatever you want to do, this is tough. This communication is hard. Okay. So, to do with whatever you see fit, okay? There is one within our camp named Wendy Ford. She is called Wendy Ford, okay? She...
Like Ford Estrade.
Fine, yes. She has what you call the gift, but if you can influence it, whatever you need to do, it's not a good... It's not looking good. She can't... I don't think she's going to remain human anymore, like us. She will change.
Well, then we will just have to see what happens.
Can you monitor that, please? Because...
I would love to speak to you more.
About... Do I mean just, like, later?
Like,
or,
well, about your world. Your views are very fascinating.
Okay. I'm busy. Like, I have things that we have to do. We have to move camp, so I need to...
I could help you.
Okay.
We could talk while we work.
Okay. I can agree to that if you can help me out with... If you and the other Jaguar, or your contemporaries, if we can all work together to break down this camp... Not actually break things, though. Don't, like, fold it. Like, this might be tough.
Okay. All right. we'll see what we can do. Should I prepare the tests of pain?
What are those? What does that mean?
Well, to release the gift, one must suffer pain.
Okay. Yes. For the one they call Wendy Ford, yes. I think that would be a good idea.
I will prepare the shamans.
Thank you. I appreciate...
Now, where could I find you later so we could discuss more?
My tent is over there. And I point to where my tent is.
The only one left standing.
Yeah, the only one left standing that I have
broken down by now.
Taking care of. Take care of.
It's disappearing as you're pointing.
Yeah.
So... standing over there.
Whenever...
I must go speak to my people. And I must go speak to Aurora.
Thank you for talking to me.
I'm sorry that we had a misunderstanding.
As am I.
And with that, we're going to go ahead and end this episode of Bone Throwers Theater.
Thank you for listening to Bone Throwers Theater. The cast is Carlin, Jeff, Jeremy, Johnny, Jordan, and Stephanie. This podcast is released under our Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives 3.0 Unported license. Please feel free to share the podcast, but please do not modify it or attempt to gain financially from it. To find the show online, visit our site, bonethrowerstheater.com. Our Twitter feed is @BoneThrowersTheater, and our email address is BoneThrowersTheater@gmail.com. Join our social networks on Facebook and Google+. Podcast art was designed by Laura Tress and is used with her permission. Until next time, may the bones fall in your favor. This has been a Nerd Circle podcast production.